Golden Retriever of Comedy Tours, it marches on. April 4th, I'm going to be in Long Island, New York. Where? I'm going to be at the Paramount Theater. We added a late show. Tickets are available. DanSoder.com. Then, going to North Carolina. Charlotte, I'm going to see you April 10th. Durham, April 11th. DanSoder.com for all tickets. I'll see you guys all soon. And by the way, all tickets, all shows are up right now. We even added Omaha, Nebraska, because I need to run the hour a couple more times. Funny bone. DanSoder.com. Oh, and New Jersey. We added a show in New Jersey in June. And JPAC. DanSoder.com. Enjoy this episode. I hope you're doing all right. I hope your weekend was good. Thanks for watching. Turn the volume down so your boss doesn't hear you. My stupid baritone voice coming through. Interrupting a guest. I got a thought. And you're like, what are you supposed to be doing your work? Don't listen to my podcast. Take a one hitter at lunch. But going to Alabama and then going to the Science Center of part of the United States. It's not like you can make the joke of like the Science Center of Alabama, which right. I think I was making that joke, which I was like, I thought was just a Burger King off the highway. Yeah. But it's like actually where NASA is and like rockets and shit.
Yeah.
Dude, it was Huntsville's what's up. That's the only place in Alabama.
All of us took field trips Huntsville.
That was it? That was the field trip?
That was the fucking field trip. That and we have a battleship from World War II where we were at. Oh, so that was our two. They let you slide down the cannons and shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was
fucking awesome. Justin Stagner, my fans give me shit for not introing people off the top.
Oh, yeah.
Follow him on Instagram. He makes fucking hilarious videos. I love him. And I was like, dude, we were talking and I was like, come on the podcast. But back to a cannon slide.
Yeah.
Was that the finale of the field trip?
Yeah, dude. It's so crazy because nothing in there is updated. They left everything how it is, but then they've got vending machines in it.
Really? What kind of like Coke?
Like Coke.
Snack machines?
Like Frito-Lay snack machines. Yeah. The works inside of a World War II where nothing's been touched except for that.
It should be, and this is just me curating for field trips,
yeah.
Should be snacks from the World War II era in the vending machine.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
You know what I mean?
That would be great. Like a Pepsi can you open with a can opener.
Yeah. You get lead poisoning from eating some of the snacks.
They shoot them out of the cannon to you.
Shunk. Great. Watching the unathletic kids just miss.
It's so crazy because they slide you down it. You go in first grade. That's when you go. In first grade. And at no, I guess you're young enough to like, they slide you down it, and everybody's just thinking, like, we killed people with these. Can you just, you know?
Yeah, dude. There's a guy that grew up without a dad because of that cannon.
Exactly. And now like, it's just parked out there, and you can just slide down.
There's a German guy taking his family after he moves here. He's like, I just feel like this isn't the right place. This caused our family a lot of grief. Colorado, growing up in Colorado, field trips are all either nature or settling, like
nature, like hikes,
like Cave of the Winds. There's an episode
that'd be cool though.
But it's wasted on children.
That's true. That's true.
Field trips are wasted on children.
But the parents get to go, and the parents are most of the time being like, "What the fuck?"
But now that I'm an adult, and my friends have kids, and I know what parents truly are, which are people.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know those parents are like probably got into a fight of who's going to go with them.
Exactly,
because they're not enjoying the museum. They're not enjoying the battleship. They're watching kids. So they can't go like, oh, fuck, this kid, like read a plaque. They can't read one plaque.
Dude, I'm the asshole dad. So I'm sitting there at the World War II thing and I was getting to the vending machines. I'm like, when the fuck they invent these?
You did the line from Cable Guy when Matthew Broderick is at Medieval Times. And he's can I get a fork?
Forks?
And there were no utensils at Medieval Times. Hence, there are new utensils at Medieval Times. They had Pepsi?
Exactly.
Dude, I had a lot of tables. I quote that to Janine Garofalo too much.
Like the cable guy?
The Pepsi line.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where it's like, man, I think I'm that guy with her.
Yeah, I know. Dude, it's one of those things where, like, I hate. You started out fun, and then eventually you're like, oh, fuck, I think I've crossed the line.
But I think the internet has blurred that for a lot of people. So
true.
They, like, especially being friends with someone as big as, like, Shane or Nate or Bert, people feel like they can just yell shit out like they're on this shorthand with you, and you see some crazy shit.
Yeah.
I don't really have that. I have, like, a very low, but guys at the top because you want to yell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've been waiting your entire life to see Tom Hanks and scream Wilson down the street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have people yell shit at you from your videos?
Of course.
Southern grandpa.
It's usually that. People have their thing. And that, I guess that's the cool thing is like finding out what their thing is.
Yeah.
So like people will yell a Southern grandpa thing or they'll come up like square up with me. Or a lot of people like the bushy stuff. Like they love the whistling S.
Dude, whistle. You can do it so good.
Oh, I've got that one down pat.
It,
so my Herbert is like off the charts.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
It is. Yeah. The whistle thing is like, I used to do it on the bonfire and it would take me a while to get there because you really have to like.
It's a learned skill. My son already can do it at 7. I was like, you're going to be amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. You're a baseball dad, but yeah, with voices.
With comics.
Yeah. You go, whistle talk practice in the garage.
Yeah. And he said it's a certain song that he can sing and get it going.
Oh, really?
All right, you go do that. Rep it.
That's the did you show him the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh? Because that's
Gopher. The Gopher. Yeah. I can't forget his name, but the people, ever since I started doing the Bushies thing, like people tag. You know, they comment like, you sound like the Winnie the Pooh Gopher.
Jim Cummings is the guy that does, I think he does the voice. He does the voice for Pooh, but I think he does the voice. And he does a run of voices that you're like.
Oh, yeah, it's like that guy for the Looney Tunes that did all of them.
Yeah, Mel Blanc.
Yeah, that's right.
But Jim Cummings did like Darkwing Duck and all these ones.
Yeah.
There was a video, we made fun of him on the bonfire, so I think he hates me. Because he was going through some shit, and we made fun of it, and I did a character of Dark.
You ever feel like, I mean, when you're sitting here and you bring something up and then you make fun of it, like back in the day, it was just you and your friends on the couch bullshitting, and now you're like, oh, 10 million people could see this tomorrow.
I'm going to tell you right now, yes.
Yeah.
He has to deal with that the most, because what he deals with is me at like 8 in the morning going, shit, I talk shit about someone on that podcast. I can't go out. And then I'm like, yo, Mike, I made fun of someone. Can you take that? Because the fun part of doing this show is it's just straight up where I play video games all the time.
Yeah.
So it really is my couch. People think this is a set, and you're like, no, I'm excited to take the lights down and play PlayStation.
Madden for
now. Yeah, exactly. Run my dynasty on college football.
Damn right.
But you get too comfortable, and then it's like.
You do.
You start talking shit, and then you go.
And then you cut it off, and you're like, fuck, that was a little much.
But that is like one of the things that I've always liked about comedy is it is ball busty, but then you forget that it's entertainment, so you have artists, so there's also sensitivity.
Yeah.
Where you go, they're not taking it like back of the bus ball busting. Like a lot of my friends do and a lot of comics I'm friends with, there are people who are like, that really upset me.
I'm sure, dude. Because, like, I love it. It's a way our minds work, though, because I'll see somebody get arrested, and I'm like, oh, this is fucking hilarious. Let me write this real quick. And then you post a video about it, and you start seeing the comments. You're like, I fucked up, I think.
A lot of it is we've lost the ability just to go. We need to bring back my bad.
That's true.
Like, my bad. Like, I'm talking about all levels of society. People need to start being better at going, like, my bad.
Yeah.
Because in real life, when someone says my bad, it de-escalates the
situation. Immediately you're calm.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, dude. I thought Dan was getting fucking wild, but he was like, my bad.
Right. Yeah.
But it's dudes. It's just my bad.
Right. It is. My bad. It's just a two word. It's like, it's just like you popping your seat out of the jet before it crashes.
Oh, dude,
you go, fuck my bad. And it's like,
yeah. You ever said something and the last word, you're like, oh, my bad. Like, it's not even, you don't even have time to think about it.
I was going to the cellar last night and I was walking down to the subway and there was a group of like teenagers. And you know, how old are you?
35.
So I'm 42. So we're in the same, we're old.
Right. Yeah.
We're old.
For sure. Now
we're not like real old, but teenagers look at us and they go, dudes in jeans.
Exactly.
They know this is us.
Like the Rock.
They know I'm dressed up like a fucking heroin addict going to court.
Yeah.
They go, that's his best sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But I also get that old man feeling when like teenagers are
all the time
in groups.
You don't even realize when it happened.
And you, what year did that
happen? I don't know. Dude, I remember one time my brother called me. He's way younger than me because it's like my dad and my stepmom.
Yeah.
So he's way younger.
So your first marriage kid.
Right.
Your
exactly.
OG
me
marriage.
And my brother are locked in first marriage kids. And then
that's
I got
great.
A brother sister from the, and it, dude, it's,
you're
he
the
called
tribunal
me.
Of the elders.
I tell this joke on stage because I don't know when it happened. My brother called me one day and it was like noon. And I was like, what are you doing? He said, I just woke up. I said, you're sleeping your fucking life away, son. And I was like, what the fuck? When did that happen? Yeah. I remember he used to get so mad at mom. I was like, what do you care if I get up? I have nothing to do today.
Yeah, or when I would go home for Thanksgiving and just get blackout the night before Thanksgiving and then wake up and
everyone. And you're back at 17.
Yeah, and everybody would hit you with the like, oh, I thought you were going to sleep all day. Yeah. And you're like, well, I was drinking till 5 in the morning.
Right.
Technically, I pulled it overnight.
I should have just powered through.
Yeah, but I wonder what age it is that you're like, duh, these kids.
I know, but it just happens.
Yeah, and I'm walking behind a group of like 7 teenagers, and they're laughing and they're having fun, but they're like kind of slow. And I'm like getting old man, old white guy mad. I'm like, you know, the sidewalk is the right size for walking, and the left. And, starting to sound like Lewis Black. There's a thing with the sidewalk. Yeah. You're walking, but I am walking down the sidewalk, and they break apart to get like street meat or whatever. They're like getting food, and they go to the park, and one of the kids goes, "Oh, my bad," to me, like that. You want my fault, like that? That they were walking, and I went, "Thanks." Yeah, like immediately, yeah. I was out of it.
This kid's got self-awareness.
I shook his hand. I go, you're going to be something someday, young man.
Yeah, you're damn right.
That awareness is really going to take you to the top.
Dude, but I hate when you're talking to one of them and they say something and you're like, God damn, dude. Like, I remember I was talking to a guy last night. I did a set at the Stand, and he's way younger. He's asking me how to get into comedy, and I was like, I don't fucking just do it. You know?
Yeah, follow
And I said something, and I was like, you need to just, like, find, if you want to get on the road, find another comic that thinks you're good, take him with him. He's like, dead ass, man. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck, man.
You know what's weird? It's weird to be on the other side, because to this day, I vividly remember where I was. Not for 9/11, not for Columbine, but when my mom said, oh, that's Da Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my mom said it sincerely. That was my 9/11, where I was like, in my head at that moment, just in faded video, the buildings are collapsing, that plume of fucking shit's hitting my kitchen. My mom goes, oh, that's Da Bomb. And I went like, what the fuck, Lee?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
She's trying, man.
What are you doing? That's like she brandished a firearm in
that's
the middle of
that's actually a great video that you should make.
Oh, no. But it was just like she pulled, and then so it's weird to be on the other side when someone's like,
to be like, if you said dead ass right now.
If I was like, but they say it to me and I go, ugh. Like, you even know, you go, I couldn't say that. I could never go like dead ass. No, I'm dead ass. Because that was a New York thing. That's like a super New York thing.
Oh, it started up here.
Yeah. Dead ass is absolutely New York.
Well, it's dude, you know, Alabama's like 10 years late for everything. Yeah. And we kept the mullet too long and all that.
You guys are like in the 90s when Russia was getting our rock from the 80s.
Right. That's exactly right. So now like our classic rock station's playing shit 10 years too late.
Yeah.
If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, playoff hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max. If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, playoff hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max.
Alabama, though, is one of those places where it's such a like different cities, different energy kind of thing. When you do stand up, did you start in Mobile?
Yeah, I had to. I was doing the videos and they took off, and I've been writing stand up for like 10 years, just never had the balls to do it type of thing. And somebody tagged a local guy and he was like, I actually run some mics in town if you want to ever come try.
Had you ever done stand-up before?
No, but I tell people, it's like I worked at a steel mill, and I'm telling jokes to a room full of strangers,
buddy,
that type of thing.
You just cracked the code.
Yeah, I mean,
it's anybody that's had a real job and, like, worked with their hands.
Yeah.
And like, done like real.
Because you know those are some of the funniest people in the world.
That's what I mean. You go, none of these nerds are going to intimidate
They don't know real ball breaking.
It
like
really
that.
Was like
insane.
That's such a thing. It's weird because it's like, remember when MMA found out that if you had a wrestling background, you were just going to be better?
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's a perfect analogy.
They're like, oh, you're just going to control the match. You're going to have the wind. Your wind's going to be up. That's what it's like with people that worked blue collar jobs. When I find out someone worked a blue collar job and they do stand up, I go, ah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're going to be all right. It's just reps. That makes sense.
It's just reps at this point.
It is.
It's like a lot of stand up is reps, and I remember older comics telling me that, and when I moved here in my 20s being like, and then you see it pay off and you're like, it was reps,
dude. It's literally like, and it's, you know, working a blue collar job, as soon as you show them you could do impressions or like have a joke or something, you're like a dog with a trick.
I'm
they just
tell
go
you,
get everybody else.
The only blue collar work I ever did was a summer I worked at Cannery in Alaska.
I remember seeing this on a pod,
and the bit that murdered with you saying that was me doing an impression of the processing boss.
Oh, that's, you're fucking right to the top with that. If you can do the boss perfect.
Dude, then I would put him in situations that would make these guys laugh.
Exactly.
I think one of the bits I did, his name was, now people try to argue with us online. His name was Aladdin. That's how they pronounced it.
Yeah.
It's Filipino, Aladdin, but then they told me it was Aladdin and he was fucking with me. But I'm telling you right now, his cousin would call him Aladdin.
Right.
But I'd do this thing called Aladdin and the Processors. Like, he was like a 50s band. And he was like, it's no good. It's no good. It's no good. That card is no good. These guys would be like, Justin, I would be killing.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, oh, I think I'm going to do stand-up when I get back to Arizona. That really was the moment.
Did those guys out there ever tell you, just from like my experience, those guys out there be like, dude, you missed your fucking calling. You should not be here with
me. They're like,
that type of thing.
They would say two things to me. They would either go, you should do stand up, or they would go, man, I like working with you.
Right.
It's fun as hell.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
They told you the same thing
and
twice.
And you go, like, we're not getting good work done here.
No, not at all.
We're like running behind.
I'm here for the comedic relief.
That's it. But I always felt like, you should find the thing in your life that you like doing that gets you in trouble at other jobs.
That's
like a job that you're bad at. Whatever you do to kill time, push your life in that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go, like, for me, it was always, because like I said, the Alaska thing was, but I was a waiter. That was the thing I did. I was always a waiter, always working at restaurants. And my favorite thing were smoke breaks or being at the Hutch making people laugh. And I was like, that's just my energy. And then podcasting.
That stand up.
Podcasting is the smoke break.
Yeah.
Well,
like, dude, even when I was bartending and waited tables, same exact thing. Like, that's the favorite part of that is making all your coworkers laugh. I would go to sometimes and be like, I'm going to be Irish all night.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go to all your tables Irish? I'd be like, fuck yeah. And I'd go there and people would pick up on it. And I'd be like, well, I've been in the States a little while. It's not, you know, getting a little Southern rubbing off there.
That's so funny. You falling back into a Southern accent. Yeah. And someone's like, I'm drunk, man. This guy.
Yeah, dude, right?
I can't find.
I remember one time my friends came in and I didn't have their table. And I'm over there. I'm like, can I get you anything to drink? Some sweet tea or some Coke? And I just remember looking at my friends were just going like, what the fuck is he doing? Dude,
changing your voice or fucking with tables. I got to a point where, you know, I worked at a restaurant in Midtown and the cafe was like, cool. This is 07. The cafe was like, cool people would come in on Thursday nights and they would want to be cool and they would want to drink Patron and they would want to be on 3rd Avenue and 50th mm-hmm. and 3rd and being like, you make good money, you know, because the bills were high, but they were dicks. And I started doing bits to make me and my friends laugh. And I, depending on who the manager was, I would get away with it. But in the summer, we'd have to put napkins because we had metal water pitchers.
Yeah.
So we'd have to put napkins over the water so it wouldn't melt the ice in the pitcher, right? So you'd have these pitchers on the hutches with napkins over them and then water pitchers. And I would do shit to make the other waiters laugh. Like I would wait till a guy would pull, and then I'd pull the napkin off like it was a trick. Like I was a magician, and I was revealing the pitcher of water. So they would walk by, and I'd go like, and I'd go like that. But they'd be walking by me, and another waiter would be, I'd be doing it for the other waiter.
Of course.
I wouldn't be doing it for that guy. But he'd come by, and I'd go like that. And they'd be like, or I would, if I knew a waiter, because the tables were pretty close, I would water tables, but I would do it like a, I was a rock star, so I'd go, table 340, it's been a while since I've seen you. I'd pour the water. And it was in 07, 08 after the housing market collapsed.
Yeah.
So most of the time, all euros. That cafe was Spaniards, Italians.
Yeah.
So I could say shit that they wouldn't even.
Yeah.
They go, huh?
Right. But you fucking say whatever you want.
But the other way, you know, like.
They're dying. Your buddies are dying.
My friend Sarah's like laughing at her table, giving the specials, and I'm going like, 342. It looks like you need water, no gas. And they'd be like, what? And it is like. Being a, and then that's why when I see comics complain about the road or complain about anything, I go, dude, I should be at a restaurant right now.
Yeah, it's true.
I should be going through the specials. Appreciate.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be able to set my own schedule.
Dude, I remember whenever I was in, I grew up a wrestling kid just like you did.
Yeah, and, dude, check it out. People send me action figures about it.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, and I'm like. Yeah, don't stop.
Don't stop now. I used to give people sweet chin music in the restaurant, like my managers and shit. And dude, this one day, you remember it, like at the end of the day when they just pour buckets of water on the floor to mop it?
Yeah.
Dude, I gave him some sweet chin music and soaked his white shit. Like it was all on my foot when I kicked it.
So you do the full kick up.
Oh yeah, and slap my leg. It sounds so, like it. Yeah, it's
the leg slap for all you wrestling fans. Turn heel.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. That's what I do on the road. Ask Sagalo. We were in Cleveland. My phone's in my pocket, so I can't do it. But we were in Cleveland, and the way the green room is at Hilarities is you come out the back, and it's like two hallways like this.
Yeah.
So people would come around the hallway.
Oh, perfect.
If they'd go to the bar, and it'd be like Jimmy Graham would be emceeing, and you come around, and I'd go like, oh, my God, Dan Soder just turned heel.
Yeah.
Or like Sagalo would come around, and I'd go like, and I'd do the kick, you know?
Dude.
We went to Raw, and I showed Katie that. She didn't know that's how they did it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said that to her, and she went, I wish you wouldn't have told me that.
Dude, I got a buddy. Like, my best friend got really into it. Like, Hardcore Holly and a few of those other guys are from Mobile, and they started, like, a little wrestling school down there. And he went to it, like, when we were in high school. So he learned all these bullshit tricks to tell me about.
I love that.
Yeah, so I got to know. Dude, I would do this to all the little, like, 90-pound girls, and all the dudes would be laughing. They'd be like, what the fuck is your problem? I was like, that was that close to your chin.
Dude, my buddy, one of my closest friends, Vic, he was like my old roommate, big Mexican dude, huge wrestling fan. He got me back in when I was out from 18 to 23. He was like my guy that brought me in back into wrestling. But we were at our friend Greg's house, and this is in Tucson, and we're just chilling there. And Vic could do the open palm thing.
Oh, wow.
And he just chopped Greg out of nowhere. And Greg was like, what the fuck, dude? Where it caused a real problem. We were talking about that a couple months ago, and I saw both of them in Tucson, and it was like hilarious because he just went like, he did the Andre the Giant, the fucking paw.
Like a bear paw.
Yeah. And getting a chop like
that. So you're back into it now.
I mean, I've been back into it since I was 23. So I've been like, it's been 20 years I've been back in.
Oh, yeah.
Since 06.
So I got invited to go to like SummerSlam like 2 years ago.
Hell yeah.
So I went. It was in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching it, and it's so crazy because like when I was a kid and I realized it wasn't real, I was like, oh, God damn it. My whole childhood's a lie. Like,
how old
are
you?
Thing. I would say usually like the probably 10, right in there, 10, 11 range.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. And
fifth grade, yeah.
Yeah, and then I came back to watch this, and the funniest part about it to me was, like, now you're appreciating the athleticism.
The movements.
Right, all of it. That's what you're watching.
You go, I can't move
But
like
it's
that.
So funny to watch another guy who's 40-something years old, and he's like, turn around, ref! And you're like, dude, give me a fucking break.
But that is, and every wrestling fan will tell you, is that there's an unspoken agreement when you walk into that arena that we're all going to treat this like it's real. And I think that's why it's such a great environment for kids.
Because
they go in and they go like, they see adults pretending without telling each other or making each other feel bad for it. Because I think that's what non-wrestling fans don't understand is, we know it's fake.
Right.
Don't piss on us. We're just trying to have fun.
I will say, people in Alabama didn't. Like, my grandpa was shaved his head because of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's
like,
badass.
I mean, he would literally be watching Raw with us and be like, that. Like, if somebody talked shit to Stone Cold Steve Austin, my grandpa would be like, he couldn't whoop a pitcher, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, he fucking loved it.
That's a cool ass sentence. Yeah. He couldn't whoop a picture with Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's a badass sentence. But you know why? Is because we're a different generation now. Now we're the adults that understand what marketing and a work is.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think, like, I think your grandpa, my parents' generation, was the last generation to go, like, you know, Ric Flair is incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, like, maybe so, yeah.
Sure, but I think he also probably owes a lot of money to the tax, you know, right. Like the real thing of it. Like, they would go, like, it. You know, I think it all comes down to that story of Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan getting caught smoking weed together in a car.
Yeah.
And they were doing, like, a big feud, and they said, like, that was the thing that killed, like, wrestling being real to adults.
Well, that and the...
The curtain call.
Right,
curtain call. DX.
Yep.
Or the exactly. Click.
Exactly. But, like, you could have told my grandpa that, and he would have been like, I don't fucking know. I'm pretty damn, you know what I mean?
Pretty,
like,
convincing.
Yeah.
Because
everybody in Alabama thought everybody on TV was a millionaire. Like, if you were on TV, you're rich. You've made it.
I don't think they were wrong. I think at a certain point, like, up until, like, the 60s, when there was, like, four channels before cable.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's true.
If you were on TV, you're like, that guy's probably got money, and you're like, but you know what's interesting about that is we get older and we look back to, like, how the, because, like, you just making videos, you just going like, oh, that's funny, I'm going to do that. And then making it and having it up within, how long is it, like a week to make a video sometimes?
It depends. So, like, if it's just like a regular skit, I can get it done pretty quick. So the whole thing, editing and all, might take me an hour.
See, that used to be like, you had to go to a television station.
Yeah, exactly. You had to get, like, out of a set.
You had to go get, well, who's going to build the set?
Exactly.
Well, how are we going to film this?
Somebody's going to get audio.
And, like, this is all money. This is all money. And then you realize all those people on TV, I was talking about this recently in an episode, they have, like, contracts with studios. So it's like, that big house they live in, that's the studio's house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not their house. They're getting paid a salary from the studio. And you're like, oh, it's way different now. So wrestling back in the day, they were like, Junkyard Dog beat up anybody, and you go, yeah, probably in the South, but if he went to, like, Minnesota, I bet they'd make him lose to, like, whoever their champ was.
Yeah,
or he goes to North Carolina, he's probably going to lose to Flair.
Of course.
And they had to, like, protect that, and then now you're kind of like, no, we're all going to choose to pretend. Take us back.
Yeah, well, they should. I mean, that's what keeps it alive.
It's the best. It's the best. I got into an argument with a 9-year-old that I didn't know. At SummerSlam 2016.
I probably know what you're going to say. Go ahead. What were you arguing about?
It was Cena versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And Cena's music hit, and that's when the crowd, because now they act like everybody loved them.
Sure.
But in 2016, the chant was, John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. And then the counter chant that happens in wrestling, where they'd go, John Cena. And so there you go. John Cena sucks. And me and this kid were
doing it back and forth.
Because he turned around and saw me, and he was like, I've had multiple sporting events where I've talked shit to children. So he was like, John Cena. And then I was like, John Cena sucks. Just doing like that older.
You turned,
like,
heel. Yeah.
Yeah. And then John Cena won the match, and the kid looked back, and I went like, and he was like, and you saw this kid have this moment where he's like,
yeah, he told all his friends that
he
shit.
Was like, yeah, dude, this guy was cheering for AJ Styles. And, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
That's the fun part of wrestling. It's just going like, nah, man, your guy won.
If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, Playoff Hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max. If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, Playoff Hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max.
Dude, what I get into arguments with kids with about wrestling is, like, they don't understand, and they try to tell, like, there's no... I can say it all day long. There's no way to convince them of the pandemonium that would happen when the glass would break and Stone Cold Steve Austin would come out.
And I will see
that. I was like, if he had an Instagram then, he'd have a billion followers.
I will see your glass breaking Stone Cold, which is true. It's the number one pop moment in the world. But being 8 years older than you, you don't know what it was like when Hogan's theme.
See, but I won't argue that. I will agree with
and
you.
And I mean, after everything
Hulk
we know
Hogan
about
would have also had a billion followers on Instagram.
Hulk Hogan shit hitting that. Bah,
bah, bah, bah. Oh, yeah. I can only imagine. Would,
as a child, it made me understand Pentecostal churches because it would lift me. The spirit would lift me. Hulk Hogan on Saturday night main event and some shit's going down, especially the mega powers. Listen, when you're a kid, you love Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You grow up to love Macho Man Randy Savage because you realize Savage was the one that was selling it, that was doing the in-ring work.
Right.
He was the reason that mega powers thing was perfect.
Yeah.
Hogan just had to be the all-out good guy.
Right, exactly.
Had to be
all
easy.
The time.
Oh, brother, I'm just trying to help you. Macho Man was jealous. You got jealousy in those eyes. Yeah. But it was like shit that as an adult, you understand way more.
True.
You go, dude, if my buddy was hanging out with my girl and touching her small back, I go, what are you doing?
Exactly. I'm a macho fan.
Yeah, but as a kid, you're Hulk Hogan's a good guy, and you just leave him alone. Turns out he wasn't. But you're like, turns out he's just a good guy, and all he does is care about
America.
Turns
out there's all these stories.
Yeah. Turns out let's just not bring him up to Johnny Jones. Yeah. You're like talking about your black friends? Yeah, maybe we don't bring him up around. But it is like, you see that, and you go, oh, that's storytelling for adults. I always liked cartoons that when you watch them, they're like The Simpsons.
Yeah. Even
The Simpsons, you could get into it as a kid, but you also realize it's making your sense of humor better because the jokes are for adults.
Exactly.
Storylines like the mega powers colliding is like, oh, you get that as an adult. You're like, I've been jealous.
Right. Well, dude, it's a bunch. All that shit that you watch as a kid, like I watched stuff way above my age grade, like when I was growing up. Like,
does that happen anymore?
That's what I was going to say. I think that really sharpens all your because you even the jokes you don't understand, you're like, my dad laughed at that. What the fuck?
That was the biggest thing for me.
Right, and you're just sitting there like, so that's funny. I got to figure out what the fuck that means.
I remember watching my dad laugh to Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the jokes, but I understood that he was funny. And watching how hard he made my dad laugh, it was that HBO special where he had the young comics up. We'd watch that all the time where he has like young Bill Hicks, young Kinison. It's like you can watch him. There was a series they did on HBO with Dangerfield hosting.
Yeah.
At Dangerfield's in New York. And it's like, it's just him at the club and he's like just killing. And yeah. I'd watch my dad and be like, yo, he's laughing.
Dude, that's how I felt when we watched Martin. Like, when I used to watch Martin with my dad and them, they'd be rolling off the couch laughing. I was like, this is the funniest fucking dude alive.
Martin, funny-wise, gets overlooked so much.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. And you go back and watch it, it's still funny.
Yeah, they play it. It's that and Golden Girls are the two most rewatchable shows. Yeah. Martin,
my wife's favorite show is Golden Girls.
We go to bed to it every night.
Yeah.
It's on Hallmark every
night. She puts it on her phone to go to sleep to.
That's really, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then every night, without fail, Katie will go, God, the fits. She's like, she's every time that, because whenever they're in nightwear, they're always like, they got like three layers
on. Lanai.
Yeah, dude, they look good.
Yeah.
All of them have different but good looking outfits. Because the Golden Girls was the thing I would watch with my grandma that we both could appreciate.
Right, exactly.
Because it was just so funny.
It was.
Dude,
it really
the joke
was.
Writing on that.
Dude, the bloopers that I watch that you can watch now, they're telling each other dirty jokes.
I've seen that one.
I was like, what?
I've seen that
That's
one.
Hilarious.
Betty White telling that joke to Blanche. I call her Blanche.
I do too.
No disrespect. I usually call them all by their names, by their show names. I mean, like Dorothy's on one today. but I don't know if they do that anymore. I think that's a disservice to children, is make them.
I agree.
My dad used to let me watch Mel Brooks movies because he was like, you probably won't get the jokes now, but when you get older, like Young Frankenstein, I didn't get 3/4 of the joke when I first started watching
it. Even shows that were kind of like in the middle, like watching Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, or like When Nature Calls.
I mean, that blew up. I was 11 years old when that came out in movie theater, and I'm going to tell you that phenomenon. Two things that the internet wasn't around to watch people overkill, or three, was Rick James, bitch.
Sure.
Because as a huge Chappelle fan, the first time I heard someone scream, I'm Rick James, bitch. We're at a bowling alley, just drinking beers, bowling. And I heard it and I was like, the idiots found out about Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, found out about him.
He was our best kept secret.
Yeah.
It felt like a band. Ace Ventura coming out in sixth grade and kids trying to talk like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
It was an epidemic.
I bet it was.
At middle schools?
Yeah.
Kids going like, oh.
See, I caught the second one first.
Great. It holds up.
It was amazing.
And then the one that really, really, really shook the world was Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And when I was in sixth grade, it came out.
Dude, have you ever heard, is it Mike Judge?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard him talking about the old voicemail he got of how he got the voice for
Butthead?
I can't remember, but it's got a voicemail from this guy. No, I think he's talking about how he got the voice for Boomhauer, and it's this guy. No, it is a Beavis and Butthead. He's calling how he doesn't like Beavis and Butthead. He's complaining about it, but it gives him the voice for Boomhauer.
Oh, because he goes, really?
Yeah, so he calls and he's like, every time that dang old Porky's Butthole comes on, man, I just can't stand it. He thought Beavis and Butthead was called Porky's Butthole for whatever reason. So then he saved that voicemail and turned that into Boomhauer's voice on King of the Hill.
Yeah, I think Mike Judge is a guy that I put him at my, if you could have dinner with five people.
Oh yeah,
it'd be Matt, Trey, Mike Judge would be three of them.
Oh yeah, well that's you've knocked it out of the park already.
Matt and Trey and Mike Judge.
Those are some of my favorite bloopers ever.
That's what's great about Instagram.
Yeah,
when you get the reels of Trey doing the voiceover, because the first time I saw them do that was the documentary 6 Days to Air, and they're doing the Human Centipede episode,
which is probably the most famous one.
Yeah, and it shows them writing it. And like Trey, I've watched that documentary so many times, but Trey like hates it.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't think it's that good. Yeah. He doesn't hate it. He's like, doesn't think that's good. But it shows him doing the voiceover where he's doing the Japanese businessman. He's like, oh, Kyle, do you want me to eat vanilla paste or cardo fish? Yeah. And then it's Matt laughing, going, vanilla paste, vanilla paste. It's Kenny, and he goes, cardo fish. Yeah. That makes me laugh.
Oh, dude, that one and the one where it's him and Bill Hader and he's also doing another Japanese voice. He's like, apparently China and Japan are separated by huge body water.
Oh, really? And then they cut to it. Yeah. That was always, I remember the Family Guy was like a weird thing because Family Guy, when it came out, it was on, then got canceled.
Yeah.
And then it got brought back on.
They're but like, it made a lot of money.
It was the first internet hit that brought it back because Kazam, what was it?
It was Kazaa.
Kazaa.
Yeah.
Kazaa and like those downloads. You could download.
Yeah, like LimeWire and all that shit.
Download full Family Guy episodes. Yeah. We used to smoke swag my freshman year of college. Shout out to the Aarons. We would go over to their, they had like off-campus dorm where you could like, we could smoke weed and we wouldn't get in trouble.
Sure.
And we'd go over there and he would bring it up on his computer and he'd be like, you want to watch this cartoon Family Guy? And you're like, dude, this is the best.
Right.
And then the first time I saw Seth MacFarlane in the voiceover booth, I noticed he did his Peter out of the side of his mouth. Like the
right.
way he goes,
he actually kind of looked like Peter when he was doing it.
Jeez, I don't know, Lois.
Yeah.
And it's like over here and you're like, oh, the way he moves his mouth. I think that shit, your voice is like doing accents and shit. You watch and you go, oh, that's how they do
right.
it.
Right. I love hearing people explain how they do it. Like Frank Caliendo.
I was just going to bring him up. He's the best of, I mean, Caliendo. I brought up Jay Farrell on the Bobby Moynihan. I missed not saying Frank Caliendo.
Oh, dude.
Caliendo is.
And he explains how he does it. You'll be hearing him talk about going deeper in his throat and shit like that. I was like, ah, damn, I've never thought of it like that. I always just sit down and keep trying.
Yeah, he's cool as hell, too.
Oh, is he?
Caliendo's
the man. I can imagine, dude.
I was doing a show at the Tempe Improv, and he came by and did a guest set.
That's awesome. I love that place.
It's a fun room.
Yeah.
He came by and did a guest set, and I was like, oh. I was like, I used to listen to your Opie and Anthony John Madden clip.
Oh, my God, dude, so good.
When he used to call in his Madden to O&A, yes. And then he would also do, I mean, he's just the best. He does one of my favorite things where he does a video of voices doing Star Wars, and he does, like, Michael Keaton as Yoda.
That's great.
And it's perfect.
Yeah,
and you're like,
I bet it is.
How did you get there? But he does, like, the sniffle. He goes,
dude, do you ever have voices where you can say a few certain words right, and you're like, I just cannot fucking nail this. That's me with an Australian accent. I can do like right and stuff like, but then when I go to talking, I'm like, dude, what is going on?
I've, you know, I think I've made a career out of being a fraud because I think I only can do like four or five sentences in each.
That's me. Yeah. Because
when you go to talk.
Unless it's like a Forrest Gump or something, yeah, or a Sling Blade.
Yeah, Macho Man Paradise PD just let me cut promos in the voice booth.
Yeah.
So that was the one where I could stay in it. But every other thing I've tried.
Yeah, your macho is the best I've ever heard.
That was that. Yeah, thanks, man. I don't know. I mean, that was
the best I've ever heard.
Truly boredom.
My brother, my brother's not like big into like watching stand up like the way I am.
Yeah.
But I told him I was doing your pod, and he's like, dude, get him to do Macho Man. He's like, hey, does he do anything else? Do you do stand up? I was like, yeah.
But I'm fine with that. I like wrestling fans when I go to Raw and shit.
Oh, I bet
they'll be like Macho Man, and you're like, yeah. And it's been cool. Like, I got put in that A&E biography because I'm such a big Macho Man fan.
Yeah.
And the guy that made it made like the U. He's awesome. Billy Corgan. He's like awesome director. But he edited the documentary in a way where it looked like I took the death of Macho Man very lightly. Because if you watch the documentary, it's a very serious part of the documentary where they're like, we lost him, he died or whatever. And then it cuts to me and I'm like, dude, what a badass way to go out. He had a heart attack and drove his Jeep into a tree. What a bad motherfucker. Took two things to kill him. It took a car accident and a heart attack to kill him.
Yeah.
You couldn't just kill him with one thing.
And a tree.
Dude, that documentary came out and I had real heat with wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Like death threats, people up in my shit, people threatening to dox me. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. And then the coolest thing happened, which is the wrestling world responded with people like Eric Bischoff was on his podcast being like, hey, a lot of you guys are mad at this guy.
Leave him alone.
He said the coolest thing in the world. He goes, I knew Macho Man in real life and I worked with him for years. He would have loved that guy.
Oh, that's the coolest. Yeah.
That guy put him over. That's what he said. He goes, he put him over. He made him look tougher. He goes, Macho would have let his, he was like, Randy would have let his documentary with that. Because it put him over.
And I was like, that's the coolest compliment ever.
I was in a hotel across the street from the Columbus Funny Bone, and someone texted me that, and I listened to that episode, and I was like, I'm in the NWO, motherfucker.
Damn right you are.
Dude, that got me to join the NWO, dude.
The most hype I probably ever got was when Stone Cold liked one of my videos.
Dude.
Coolest fucking thing ever happened to me.
I'll tell you right now, he's the man. When we did, Dan St. Germain and I wrote a cartoon that we sold to Peacock with Steve. So we would get on Zooms with him. And the first time he pops up in a Zoom, it's like, it's the same way I felt the first time I saw Jerry Seinfeld in person. Where it's like, I've watched you for so long,
yeah,
and you've been such, I've watched you when I was sick, I've watched you when I was happy, I've watched you when I was sad, I've watched you to all these different things. You've been a part of my life. The way old, like, Stone Cold matches are like the way that I watch Seinfeld.
Yeah,
you
just
put it on and you lay back.
Yeah, I'll watch an old Stone Cold documentary in a heartbeat.
Love it.
Yeah.
So the first time I see Seinfeld, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He was like walking down the street up into the comedy club, and I was like, oh my God, the fucking Seinfeld. Was the first time that Stone Cold popped up in the Zoom. It was during the pandemic, and I was like, yo.
Dude, I'd have been transported back to being 8 years old.
It's the funniest thing my mom said. We were on a notes call with him where he was like telling us what he liked and didn't like when we were writing the show.
Yeah.
And it was Christmas, and I was at my mom's house, and it was like 2 days before Christmas, and I'm on the phone with Steve and Dan. And Steve, like I know him,
yeah,
fucking Stone Cold and St. Germain. And he's giving us notes. And I get off the phone and my mom's like, I swear to God, you were 12 years old again.
Yeah,
she was like, dude, watching you buzz been around the house on I the phone. Because I was just like, yes, sir. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
because he's like,
no argument here.
One of the things is he was like, y'all got me driving a Jeep. Nah, I'll drive a Dodge. I'm going to drive a Dodge, big Dodge truck. And I go, okay.
They want Kawasaki side by side on the back of it.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. Yeah. Where you're like, okay. And you go, like, when you go, hell yeah. Like under his breath, and you're like, oh. It was very cool. Yeah, it was, dude, he was really, amazing. And then like, that's like the shitty part about like the entertainment industry is like, I got to talk to him for a little bit. And then the project,
yeah,
as it dwindled away, you're like, he butt dialed me once because I'm in his phone.
Yeah.
And he's in my phone is Steve Austin.
That's exactly what he'd be in my phone as.
How embarrassingly fast I called him back? Yeah. Katie tried to stop me. I go, oh, Stone Cold.
Hey, you were breaking up. I couldn't hear you.
She was sitting next to me, and I go, Stone Cold, missed call from Stone Cold. And she goes, it might be. She couldn't even finish butt dial. And I was like,
hello?
And I was just sitting there. I go, yeah. Calling him back. I hope he picks up. And this went to voicemail, and you're like, fuck.
You don't even tell her it's Stone Cold. I'm Steve. Hold on.
It's the Rattlesnake. Rattlesnake's calling me. Yeah. She goes, Louis J. Gomez? And you go, no, that's the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. Yeah. But I mean, when you started what made you start making videos, sketches? Were you just like watching them online and you're like, I got an idea for one?
So I put up a video of my wife making fun of her one time because every now and then she'll say something like really country out of nowhere.
Yeah. Those videos are great.
Yeah. She sounds like everything she said has been deep fried first. And so I put it up, and it got like 10,000 views, which when you have nothing is like crazy.
Yeah. You're just
like,
you feel naked.
Mom, I'm a star. And I was like, well, dude, fucking old Southern men are way funnier. So I just started doing like jokes that my grandpa would say. And then once those took off, I was like, I'm going to start doing skits. And I just started writing skits.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know what it is, man, is it really is a thing where a lot of, I think you can sit and complain about like there's no industry, there's no gatekeepers or whatever. But what it does do is it gives creative people an immediate like platform.
Yeah. Like, go, like, oh, I'm you in can Mobile, make Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, you know what's so funny is I feel like I have to say Mobile. I have to say it because when I go mobile,
yeah,
my Colorado accent going like mobile. I feel like I'm like, you know, when my mom orders wine, sometimes she'll do a, she'll be like, can I get this Sauvignon Blanc?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, don't do that.
I can't even try.
I feel like that's how I do when you say mobile. I go, mobile? What am I doing?
No, that's right.
I go,
you're
I
saying
know.
It 100% correct.
I know, but then I go, I feel
and
like.
And you know,
like I'm my mom ordering wine.
The funniest part about that is, you know it was mobile, and the people down there is like, we live in Mobile. Yeah, and it just stuck.
New Yorkers do it with Houston Street, and they go, it's Houston. You go, don't do this to me.
Yeah, no, come
don't
on.
Do this. I've come grown on. Up my whole life calling it Houston, Texas.
It's so hard. That is the nobody says Mobile that's not from Mobile.
Yeah. That's why I feel like it's like almost, I feel like a poser. I'm like, Mobile.
But dude, I tell people Mobile is the only part of Alabama that looks like that because it's on the bay.
Okay.
The little, you know, Alabama's got that little like nutsack down there.
Yeah. That's like Alabama, Florida line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like we're the only part of Alabama that's got a beach and the bay and all this shit. So we look nothing like the rest of Alabama.
And it really is. You guys are more like a Florida look down
right.
there.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we went down there for Burt's tour, we did the show down in like at Florida, Alabama.
At the Florida Bama?
We went to Florida Bama. We went to the bar. Marcus King did a show. He
awesome.
Went up and did it. But I was like, this does feel just like Florida.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's like a beach.
That part of Alabama feels the same as Florida.
What is the cutoff for Alabama Auburn? Is that geographical or is that just choice?
All over the place. Like my mom and brother, Auburn fans, the whole rest of the family, Bama fans.
What is that? Because I don't think people realize that is a, I could talk about Colorado State all I want. But you bring up, like I went to Arizona. We hate ASU.
Sure.
The state isn't really divided by it. It's more like
that's us. It's not like a the schools are like an absolute division. And I'm sure like the little circle around them is, but the rest of the state is just like pick one.
Is that how you figure out? You go like they'll go like War Eagle, and they'll figure out who is.
Oh yeah, well a Roll Tide. You'll either if you give a Roll Tide in a room, it'll be like you'll see the faces, and there's one guy just being like, you're like ah. There he is.
That does have to
that's
suck.
That's an Auburn fan.
If you're an Auburn fan, that does have to suck that your rival has the better catchphrase or the more known catchphrase.
And it's also, it really does suck also that like we've completely fucking dominated. Like,
I mean, Saban.
But like people think that, there's a shitload of bandwagon fans down there. It's like, dude, I was there for all the Mike Shula years. It was awful.
Shout out Mike Shula.
Yeah, I do love Mike Shula. But
it is weird.
I hung in there back then.
I like hating Alabama when you're good.
Yeah.
I don't like watching you suck because then you go.
Nobody does.
It's just poking you with a stick.
We're blaming it on everything.
You go, get up. Yeah. Get up. It's like when the Cowboys. It's like when the Cowboys suck.
I know.
I want to hate you.
Also Cowboys fan.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, God.
But when you guys are good, you're so
I had my
hateable.
Emmitt Smith jersey on when I was a kid. I was fucking.
I'll tell you right now.
Loved it.
1994, I had real heat for you.
Yeah,
as a 49ers fan,
I
was like, fuck the Cowboys. And then I hated the Packers. It's weird how you go through like Sports will teach you how to hate people.
It will.
pretty easily.
Just it's crazy. Going. It's like that. It's like that fucking, I think it's a Bill Burr bit where he's like, this guy put on a different t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but we do feel that way.
It unites. Sometimes hating against the same team. Dude. The way Eagles fans and 49ers fans can go fuck the Cowboys. And everyone's like, yeah, fuck the Cowboys.
Dude, I have a joke about a high five is the only thing you can do to a stranger at that velocity.
Yeah.
You just see somebody in the same t-shirt, just hit them as hard as you fucking can.
Smack my hand just as hard as I'm going to smack yours.
Yeah. It's like you can only do that with a high five. You can't return somebody's keys like that they dropped.
Ah,
yeah.
Just one time. But it is, you know, that is interesting about sports hate because, like, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. And the Dodgers are just on a generational tear with that roster.
I'm a Braves fan, so we hate the Dodgers.
And we used to hate you in the early 90s.
We also hate the Phillies.
We hated you in the early 90s because the NL West.
Yeah, of course.
NL West was fucked up. It was Braves, Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Rocky. Why were you guys in there? The Braves were in the NL West for too long. And then you guys shifted. I forget when you guys shifted. But growing up, the Braves, you guys had everybody.
Yeah, dude.
Smoltz,
I mean,
Maddox.
When I was a kid, it was like Cowboys, Braves, because you know Alabama doesn't have any pro teams, so you pick the nearest ones. We got the Braves, so then Bulls fan, obviously.
Dude, you are the sports fan that I hated the most. That was Bulls, Cowboys, Braves, or a later version of it was Yankees.
Braves
Bulls.
Are the only ones that make sense because they're close to us.
Cowboys, I would give you in the early 90s. The way that I give 49ers to people in the late 80s. We were such a good team that people in the late 80s were like, I'm a Niners fan. They're on all the time.
Oh, everybody left the Cowboys. As soon as the Saints won a Super Bowl, there's fucking black and gold everywhere in Mobile.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what the... Because
you should be Saints fans down there. That's what you should be. And nobody was because the Cowboys were doing so well in the 90s. And I was born in 90. So Cowboys were everywhere there. As soon as the Saints win, they're like black and gold everywhere. They're making t-shirts that say roll that.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Florida Lee that turns into an Alabama A.
Don't Guy Fieri this fandom.
Oh, yeah, they did, dude.
Don't put awesome sauce on something and call it a fucking
roll
thing.
That t-shirts everywhere. I was like, where did this come from?
You know, when I lived in Tucson, what was interesting was watching people do anything but be Cardinals fans. Because the Cardinals have always stunk.
Yeah.
So they would go like, well, we're close enough to Denver that we could be the... And you're like, you're 16 hours away from Denver.
Come on.
Or they'd go, or Cowboys. And you're like, you're fucking 20 hours
That's
away from Dallas.
That's even worse.
But they would just do anything but be Cardinals fans. Which I was always like, oh, imagine being a Cardinals fan. You're like, no one wants to hang out with us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's got to suck.
It's got to.
Yeah, that's why as a 49ers fan, it was good for us to lose... From like 02 to 2010, because you really saw who was a Niners fan and who wasn't.
Well, that's anything. It's you just watch people do it. I remember when Steph Curry got popular, everybody's like, "Dude, we're fucking huge." I was like, "Golden State fans? That's what you are. You've been a Golden State fan."
Can I tell you, as someone that in 1993, my dad and my grandma all Bay Area, all huge Warriors, Giants, 49ers. I'm Giants, 49ers. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a Nuggets fan. And I remember my dad's family being like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm a Denver Nuggets fan. And they were like, okay. And then watching the Warriors go on that run.
Yeah.
Having my fucking elderly grandmother go like, you see the Dubs win, and you go,
that's crazy.
Up, bitch. That's like, and then because the Nuggets just didn't. And then when we won the championship, she was so old that she's like, I don't care. And you're like, ow, I need this.
Yeah.
I invested in this for so long, but it's like,
that is a big payoff, though.
Oh my God. That championship in 2023, I was like, dude. What the fuck? I never thought the Nuggets were going to win a world championship.
Well, no, I mean, that's how I felt ever since 1998.
Yeah.
Like, oh, with the Bulls. Like, I'm just sitting there like, what's this? It'll never fucking happen again.
When you win them when you're a kid, 49ers haven't won one since 94.
Yeah, dude, just imagine. Like, when I was a kid, Braves, like, we were Braves fans first. Everybody's a Michael Jordan fan in the 90s.
Yeah, but that is true.
We're still diehard Braves fans. So imagine how I felt when we won in 21. I was like, on cloud nine. I remember being at the steel mill and then being on night shift watching the World Series and then be like, hey, we got to go up top. And I was like, not fucking now.
Not
fucking now. It's ninth inning.
And then you guys gave everybody to the Dodgers. You let the Dodgers sign.
Well, that's the Braves' main thing. They try to have, like, farm club. They don't want to pay anybody. So as soon as they're amazing. They just let them go. They're like, we want more money. And they're like, good. Only team, LA will give it to you.
Only team worse than you guys are doing that's fucking Boston Red Sox, who I live with. And now I got to watch that.
They yeah.
Give away generational talents.
And dude, I just read today where the guy that's supposed to be our DH, Jurickson Profar, this is his second year in a row he's going to be out the whole season for Peds.
Oh, yeah. 166, right?
Yeah. He's gonna, I was like, 2 years in a row?
166 games for steroids.
Can you see him being like, they'll never catch me this time?
You're talking to a Giants fan. I don't, bring up Balco to me. I'll slap you in the mouth. I don't know what you're talking about. I really do the thing where I do one of the things that I hate the most when someone's wrong, but they will refuse to admit it. That's how I am about Barry Bonds. Where they go, steroids, they go, never got caught. Never got caught.
Oh, so you're on the side of arguing like that it just didn't happen at all.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm just saying.
His
like
head
that's
shrunk back to a normal size.
But he's still the greatest.
Dude, if he would have died
that
in 1998.
That era of baseball, man. Like, just, I remember, do you remember the Maguire-Sosa run? Like, I remember being
like it was yesterday.
Pandemonium. You're like, buying Pepsi, seeing which one you get and shit.
I remember being... to this day, I was jealous of McDaniel having the Ken Griffey Juniors.
Ken Griffey Jr. liked my reel the other day, and I almost fainted. I told my wife, I was like, this is the coolest fucking thing that has ever happened to me.
That is the fucking coolest. He has the sweetest
like
swing.
Like, he followed me, and I was like, this is my whole childhood. You understand? My wife's like, you know, women, they're like, what the, what, who? Why?
Well, I'm, like, I'm lucky I live with her, because she's such a sports fan that she called baseball for Apple Plus for a year. And she was calling a game. Fuck, I forget who it was. Former player. He was like subbing in because Hunter Pence was out for the game.
Yeah.
Because that's who she worked with. And he came in and he was a former Met. But she said something about Ken Griffey Jr. And on air, he goes, you want to FaceTime Jr.? And she goes, what? They're calling a game. And he's bloop, 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 bloop. And then Ken Griffey Jr. picks up the FaceTime.
Yeah.
And goes, hey, what's up, Jr.?
Like, oh, my Katie's God, like, dude.
Hi.
See, my wife knows crazy. My wife knows football. Like, yeah. She's had videos. I've had videos where I just recorded her during a football game and go viral.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks she's faking it. I was like, I fucking wish. I wish.
Obviously, a Bama fan.
Yes.
So it's like.
She actually graduated from there. So.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually her alumni.
One of the only times I've ever seen Nate Bargatze's wife angry. And he's nodding right now. Lara Bargatze, who's the best?
Yeah.
Lara is. If you want to know why Nate's so funny, it's because Lara's equally as. She's hilarious. Her ball busting is top tier.
Nice.
Top tier. Joe List, Nate Bargatze, and I. We're watching the Texas-Alabama National Championship.
Oh, yeah.
In 2010.
Colt McCoy got hurt, yeah.
Colt McCoy got hurt. Drinking beers at Nate's apartment in Queens, in fucking Middle Village. We're drinking beers. You guys are crushing Texas. Colt McCoy's injured.
Yeah.
Joe List, half-jokingly, goes, all right, come on, Texas, do something. Make this a game. The stare that Lara gave Joe, I was like, dude, there is no bluffing about this. You're genuinely in trouble. And Joe used to get very anxious when he would drink. And he was like, is she fucking mad at me? And I was like, very. I was like, she's not even a little mad at you. She's very. And he was like, I'm really sorry. I think that moment to this day might have damaged their friendship.
That
he
is
was
hilarious.
Like, that's how much she loves Bama.
Dude, that's my fucking wife. Like, she used to, and I used to tell her all the time, we'd be somewhere watching a game and it would start getting close. And she'd be like, well, let's fucking go. I can't watch this. Yeah. And I'd be like, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Or she'd be at home and she'd turn the TV off if we started losing. I'd be like, go in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I want to see this.
She's watched me be too much of a sport. You know, it's happened to both of us, but she watched me be too much of a 49er fan at a Seahawks game in Seattle with the Niners. I don't know. I think I might have told the story before, but there was this, remember I was telling you about the Cena
AJ
thing? So this family's in front of us, and they're super nice or whatever, and the kid's in a Russell Wilson jersey. This is the last year Russell Wilson was quarterback for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback for the Niners, and they're beating us. And the kid's, like, turning around talking shit, and I'm like, okay, all right, hey, Seahawks suck. And then he keeps going, and he's like, yeah. And then we start losing, and I'm like, not right now. And the kid's like, you know, turn around. This is embarrassing to admit, but the kid was like, "Hi!" He's like going over, and I just matter of factly went, "Well, hey, enjoy Russ because this is his last season with your team. He's hitting the free agent market next year." And Katie went, "Damn!" Like in a way that I was like, "Shit, it's on my bad." Because you watched it, the kid went like, "What?" Russell Wilson would never leave the Seahawks. And that was the year he went to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I was like, and Katie was like, remember when you couldn't handle your cool because a fucking 8-year-old got in your head?
And remember that, you just think about that kid when they announced it.
Oh, he went, that fucking man.
Yeah, how the fuck did he know?
That future terrorist.
And you'd probably asking all his friends, like, Russell would never leave, right?
Guys?
Right?
Guys,
right?
Guys, but it was already, maybe, I don't know, man, but it really did feel like, I don't know if you've ever, like, have you ever wrestled with a kid and accidentally hurt him?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Dude, I remember
like one time. Like, my friend's kids, where I throw them, and they go, like, hit the couch. Dude,
I remember one time, we were in Montana, it was one of the first years we ever went there, and my uncle's, like, my little cousin, he's probably 6, and I pick up this thing of snow that's, like, this big, and I throw it at him. And it didn't break.
Oh,
oh dude. Oh, and I go lift ice? It. I go lift it up. All yeah. Oh. The inside of it was ice. And I was wondering why it was so heavy when I threw it. I lifted up off of him, and there's like blood on him under it. Oh, and I was no. And it's one of those things where you're just like, all right, I can think of a lie. Hit me back. Quit crying.
That's
hit
what
me.
You gotta do. Yeah. Oh, dude. When you hurt someone unintentionally, the reaction is always the funniest thing.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, we both played football. He was necessary. I was unnecessary. I was like a backup linebacker, yeah. Special teams. He was like the captain starting. And we were playing some dumb game in the street like teenagers do.
Sure.
And I tripped him and he got injured. And then I faked my injury too. Like, oh, no, I'm injured too. Yeah. I'm injured too. And you're like, so no one's mad at me, right? But that's how, when you like do that, you go, oh no, oh, my wrist, the kid's bleeding. And you're like, no, I'm
injured. You're finding something else, but you don't want yours to be ice. You're like, here, just regular snowball, hit me with this.
But yeah,
I'll pretend it fucking hurt.
Accidentally hurting a child, I went like, oh, dude, my bad, little buddy.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the game, I was like, hey, you guys are winning.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's like, shut up, dude. You ruined Russell Wilson for me.
If she hadn't have been there, you'd have just kept ragging him.
Dude, I would have fought his dad.
Yeah.
His dad would have been like, I got to do something about this. I go, all I'm saying is Marshawn Lynch was better with the Bills.
Yeah.
The kid's like, I fucking hate you. Yeah, dude, that is, sports will really make you an asshole.
I know. I've started caring a little less and less, though. I don't know what it is.
It's getting older.
And maybe. But then I see people way older than me that care still just as much.
I think our
passion down there is college football, and I think NIL coming along has been like, God damn it.
Why? Because now everyone can get paid?
Well, yeah,
you
exactly.
You motherfuckers.
Exactly.
You guys were paying them for a while.
Did you hear Coach O's quote?
No.
Coach Ogeron for LSU.
Who's the best?
They asked him, they're like, what do you think about the NIL and everybody getting paid or whatever? He said, I'll tell you, man. And, you know, he's talking like,
yeah,
he said, instead of bringing the money in the back door, now we just bring it in the front.
Yeah.
Same fucking thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's also funny because now it's like you're seeing schools get good that you're like, oh, they're rich alumni. We're like, I'll just give money.
That's exactly what happens.
Go get a corner.
Dude, you would think Texas would dominate everything with all this oil money. Like, you think that they would just be like...
They're too busy buying data centers and ruining everything. We got to get back to corruption to college football.
Exactly.
Keep it out of regular people's lives.
Yeah.
Just have like...
Exactly.
I want Sam Altman investing in like Stanford.
We want our teams to be good.
Yeah, they got a corner that runs a 4-1.
Yeah.
He's invented in a lab. It's crazy. Justin Stagner's hilarious. Follow him on Instagram. Watch his videos. His stand-up if he's coming to your city. It was awesome meeting you, dude.
I'm so
glad you came by and hung out.
I'm such a fan, so this has been awesome.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to go get mad about sports. Watch the Baseball Classic.